This morning, with this morning's message, this message is not original, and I really struggled over it. I thought about maybe not doing this message today, but I actually wrestled over it all night long. And then even this morning, as I begin to look, and you know, Lord, I don't want to preach this one. You know, will you give me something else? And the Lord said no, and wouldn't give me anything else. So I'd like you to turn your Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 12, and verses. We're going to look at verses 14 through 15, and we're going to talk about the root of bitterness this morning. And I want to encourage us as we think about bitterness and the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness has been responsible for destroying more lives than anything else. More than alcohol, more than drugs. The root of bitterness has been responsible for destroying more lives than anything else. The root of bitterness has damaged more communities. And folks, the root of bitterness has shut down more churches than anything else they've experienced. And the root of bitterness has wrecked more homes than anything else. And it's a very important topic that we want to look at here this morning. And the root of bitterness has stopped many revivals more than liberalism or any other sin than you would believe. You know, I believe with all my heart, folks, as we've been approaching this revival, and there's been prayer put out just like we did in the other revivals. We had cottage prayer meetings, and we looked at and we prayed, and as I've shared before, all of our other revivals that we've had since I've been here, coming up to the revival, it was all smooth. Going through the revival, it was all smooth. Coming out of the revival service, it was all smooth. And we were about this far from God doing a great work in our church. I want to tell you, folks, this revival is different. Right. Now, you can either come and be a part or not. But the devil has pulled out more stops than you can imagine. There's been attacks on my own personal life and in my own personal life. There's been those same attacks on other people of our church. There's been things going on and especially this week, folks, things coming at every angle. You know what that tells me? The devil's worried. Amen. The devil is worried. And what we got to decide as a church, as Faith Independent Baptist Church, are we going to unite together and face the trials and look for revival? Or are we going to stay divided? And what I was getting at is with the other revivals, I really believe with all my heart that what has caused us from reaching revival? Bitterness. Bitterness. People upset and angry. And it's caused us to not be where we need to be as a church. And so I want to help you. I want to help you deal with it. I want to help you identify it. I want to help you see it. Because you might be sitting there and saying this morning, well, I have no problem with bitterness. Well, I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe you do. And so we're going to look at it. And so Cleo, if you'll come up, we're going to read, he's going to read for you Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 14 and 15. And then while we're preparing there, if you'll flip your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 4, we'll be there at some point as well.
Get ready, beloved. We were living in the final days. I'm telling you what, we need to stay vigilant, be strong, and keep our faith, because we have a God in heaven that came to this earth, died for our sins, rose on the third day. He beat death for us. And he's coming back. And when that trumpet sounds, we're going up with him in glory. Amen. Chapter 12 of Hebrews, verses 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege that we have here as a church to get together. Lord, to open up your word, to pray, to sing praises and to you. And now, Lord, I pray that we'd open up our hearts to you today. Lord, I pray that we would look and diligently at the areas in our life. And Lord, that we would begin to deal with the things in our hearts and our life that are preventing us from taking that next step. Lord, that's preventing us from getting that joy and victory in our lives. And Father, I just pray that you'd help us here this morning. And Lord, we pray that your will would be done. In your name we pray. Amen. As we look at the Word of God here, and thank you, Brother Cleo. As we look at the Word of God here, I want to look and look into bitterness. In verse number 14, verse number 15, I'm sorry, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, whereby many be defiled. As we look at the root of bitterness, and again, saying that with meaning, and I'll get to that here in a moment, but as we look at the root of bitterness, how does the root of bitterness get into our lives? You see, again, the devil, he's smart, he's sly. If we allow him, he plants seeds in our lives. And the root of bitterness gets into our lives by the seed of hurt. And a hurt, it gets into our lives by the seed of hurt. Some seed, and I'm going to name some seeds, are types that we look at here of hurt. And as we look at the hurt, you know, some hurt that we encounter in our lives is intentional. You know, that's really sad and it's really difficult. And we live in a world today where we turn on the news and we look at many things and we see many things, and we see people that have purposely and intentionally in their lives go out to hurt. We see in some, and it's sad, but we see in some marital relationships where husband and wife have a seed of bitterness in their heart, and they go out with the intention and intentionally hurt. And there's another seed of bitterness and that we look at, and that's unintentional. You know, sometimes we hurt people and we don't even realize we've done it. Right. You know, we might say something in playful jest and it be taken wrong. We didn't mean it wrong. We didn't want there to be hurt there. But you know, we have hurt nonetheless. And sometimes it's as innocent as a child walks up and I've had this many times, you know, walk up and look at me and say, "You're fat." Well, they were just stating a fact. They didn't really intend to hurt. They was just putting it out there. And sometimes we get hurt unintentionally by something somebody might say, or something that somebody might have done and not really intended to have done it, it wasn't intentional at all. And then there's also hurt that comes through chastisement. And sometimes when we've done wrong and we're and God or a loved one chastises us or corrects us over that situation, we get hurt. We get mad. We don't like it. You know, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest with you. I don't like to be corrected. I don't like it when people tell me I'm wrong, because I like to be right all the time. Well, guess what? I'm not. So there's chastisement. And then, as we look at the seed of hurt, there's imagined. Something that's really not there. Something that doesn't really exist. But in the mind of that person and in their heart, they've imagined it. You say, well, how can somebody do that? Well, it happens. It happens. And what happens is that seed, that seed of hurt, is there. And you know, the seed in itself is harmless until it's planted. We can ask Brother Randy over here. You know, he can get a bag of corn seed, and as long as that's in the barn in a bag, you don't get much corn. It just lays there. In order for him to get some corn, he's got to take that out in the field and he's got to plant it. And the seed of bitterness is harmless until it's planted. Well, understanding that and knowing that, let's look at the soil of bitterness. The soil of bitterness is when all, or is. We have been hurt, and in our heart we harbor that hurt. We don't let it go. We hang on to it. And you say, well, you know, you don't understand, preacher. What's happened in my life really happened. And it was horrible and it was tragic. Don't argue that point with you at all. But you know, what you decide to do with that hurt determines on whether it grows into bitterness or you allow God to deal with it. So when the seeds are planted in the heart that is harboring and holding on to that hurt, well, then bitterness has the opportunity to spring up. Bitterness has the opportunity to do its work. The root of bitterness is underground. You know, it's really interesting. The Bible says here in verse number 15, and it says, lest any root of bitterness. The root of bitterness is underground. It's that thing that stays buried underground and is growing, and situations and circumstances begin to feed it, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know what? And a lot of times, you don't even realize it's there. Because again, what we put in our mind and what we think is, well, hey, I've got this situation under control. I can have this secret hate in my heart and I'll be all right. Well, no, you won't be. Persons that are bitter, let's look at identifying it. Persons that are bitter, because it's under the root of bitterness is underground. Persons that are bitter, they're generally very sensitive. You know, we've talked about that. They wear their problems right here on their shoulder. And what they say, by putting it up here on the shoulder, what they're saying is, I dare you. Knock it off. Go ahead. And they're very sensitive. They're those folks that will walk into a room and automatically assume that you're talking about them when the conversation had nothing to do with them. Again, what's happening is it, when the root of bitterness sets in, what begins to happen is the person begins to go looking for problems. Have you ever found yourself in a group or in a situation or in a relationship and you're looking for a problem? You say, oh, well, I don't do that. Well, yeah, we all do. Every single one of us. When we get upset about something, we look to fight. I mean, hey, some of the best arguments between husbands and wife are things that they look for. And so bitterness, a person that has a root of bitterness, a lot of times they are very sensitive. Also, the root of bitterness shows itself in little to no gratitude. Have you ever met those people? They're not thankful for nothing. You could walk up to them and tell them you don't have to work another day in your life. I'll pay all your bills and send you anywhere you want to go, and you have another care in all your world. They'll find something to complain about. They won't like it. And to say a word of thanks ain't going to happen. People who have a root of bitterness have little to no gratitude. People who have a root of bitterness, they're harshly critical. They'll fight with anybody for anything, for any reason. And nobody's good. No, everybody's bad. Every situation is horrible. Nothing's good. And they're critical about everything. They'll cook their own food and complain about it. They're harshly critical. And again, a person who has a root of bitterness are generally looking for a fight. You ever get mad at somebody and you're just sitting there? I ain't said it yet. That's close. Aha! That's it. Now I'm mad. Now I'm upset. And you're going to pay the price. And they get loud and they sound off. You see, what it is most of the time, 99.9% of the time, what it is it's a root of bitterness that's been hanging down there for a long time. Well, the second thing we'll look at here this morning is the fruit of bitterness. So you got the root of bitterness that's underground. When the root of bitterness springs up, how do you identify it? How do you see it? The root of bitterness is that which is seen. Look at what the Bible says here. The Bible says in verse number 15, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up. Pay real close attention to the next two words, trouble you. It doesn't say trouble them. The object of your bitterness isn't troubled. You're the one that's troubled. You're the one that is having, and it will manifest itself in physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You know, there's a lot of people that are running around and have sicknesses and illnesses because of the bitterness that they're harboring in their heart. Bitterness will affect your health, and it will affect you physically, and it will drive you to the ground. Because, folks, bitterness is sin. And the devil promises joy, but always delivers destruction. Every time He'll promise joy and deliver destruction. It not only affects physically, it affects emotionally. You know, there's a, and again, I'm not an anti-pill person. You know, there are some folks that are on antidepressants today that don't need to be. Now, if you're on them, don't stop taking them. All right? Please, don't stop taking them. Consult your doctor. But you know what? There's people that are on antidepressants today because within their heart, they're harboring bitterness and they're angry at the world and it is affecting them emotionally. You know, bitterness will cause your emotions to jump up and down like a bunch of Mexican jumping beans. It'll cause you problems. One minute you'll be happy, the next minute you'll be screaming and hollering, next minute you'll have joy, the next minute you'll be crying. You're all over the board. Because again, what is ruling and what is running your life and your emotions is the bitterness that you're harboring in your heart. Yeah, and these are the fruits of it. This is what becomes of it. This is what it's going to bring you. And it also will affect you spiritually. Christians, you cannot harbor bitterness in your heart and stay faithful to God.
That's right.
Amen. You cannot harbor bitterness in your heart and stay faithful to God. As long as you have hate in your heart or dislike in your heart for another brother and sister in Christ, it will affect your spirituality. You will never be able to reach where God wants you to be in your life until you are willing to take care of that root of bitterness. It will affect you spiritually. It will keep you from reading the Word of God. It will keep you from rightly dividing the Word of God. It will keep the Holy Spirit of God, because it's a wall between Him and you, of helping you identify and helping you properly interpreting the Word of God. And folks, this is bitterness. This is what bitterness does. This is why it can't go unchecked. This is why we have to examine our heart. Folks, you can when I hate a man, I make myself his slave. Think about that for a minute. When I hate a man, or in this case, when I hate a brother and sister in Christ, I make myself their slave. Now, pay attention closely to those words. I make myself their slave. And what I mean by that is because everything in my life and everything that I think about and everything that I do revolves around them. They didn't put me there. I put me there because of the bitterness and the hate that I am harboring in my heart. And folks, hatefulness and holiness cannot exist together. Remember in Sunday school we talked about division and we talked about the devil. Even the devils and the demons realize that they need to unite to do what they need to do. And in your heart and in your life, if you have hate, if you have hatefulness in your heart, you don't have holiness in your heart. You say, oh, well, now wait a minute. I'm saved. Well, you may be. Well, now wait a minute. You don't understand, preacher. You don't understand what they did to me. I have a right to hate them. No, you do not.
Amen.
No, you do not. You, well, preacher, you don't understand what they did to me. It was horrible. They were wrong. I understand that, but you don't have a right to hate them. And as a born-again believer, washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary, you do not have the right to hate a brother and sister in Christ. And when you do, you are sinning. And revival will not come to Faith Independent Baptist Church as long as it's there. You got to deal with it. You got to get it out. You got to put it, you just got to get it out. Hatefulness and holiness cannot exist. Look over at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses number 26 and 27, and then we're going to drop down and look at verses number 30 and 32. In verse number 26, in Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Now, be ye angry and sin not. How can you do that? how, you know what that scripture tells me? When someone truly does something to me that offends me, I can be angry about it. The ideal is not to run around and say, "Woo, whippee, ha ha, I got hurt today. Somebody talked about me. Somebody said something nasty about me. Woo, ha ha, I'm happy. And if I'm not happy, I'm sinning." No. It's okay to be angry when you have a reason to be angry. But you know what the Word of God says? In verse number 26, "Be ye angry and sin not." If you're not careful, you'll let that anger take root in your heart, and you'll start to sin. And that's when you decide, and we'll look at this a little bit closely here, of what you're going to do, or the vengeance that you're going to take out on what someone else has done to you. And the Bible says here, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath." You know what that's meaning? Make short order of your angriness. And the first thing to make short order on your angriness is when you get on your knees before God and you pray for that person, and you beg God to have mercy upon that person, and you beg God to work in that person's life, and then you ask God, "God, was there anything that I did to cause it?" You know the old saying? There's his side, her side, and the truth. In every grain of, in every lie, there is a grain of truth. And you say, "Well, they lied on me." Stop and search for the truth in the lie, because that lie was built on the truth. And so, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Make short order. Verse number 20, verse number 27 here, it says, "Neither give place to the devil." When I harbor hurt and stay angry, it gives the devil place in my life, and he will take over. He will take over. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. I don't care how strong you think you are. If you harbor that hatred in your heart, and if you harbor that bitterness in your heart, you will get angry. You will give place to the devil, and he will take over, and he'll give you all the desires of your heart. He'll help you say things that you shouldn't say. He'll help you do things that you shouldn't do. He'll help you live like you shouldn't live. Amen. You say, "Well, no, I've got it under control." No, you don't. Remember, it's the root of bitterness. It's down there, and it's growing. But what's going to happen is when you least expect it, it's going to jump up there and it's going to smack you right in the face and put you back. Amen. And destroy you and put you down. You know what? There's some of us that You know what bitterness we have? We have bitterness against God.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Amen.
No. I'm not angry at God. Yes, you are. You know why I didn't get saved at 12 years old? Because I was mad at God. I was angry with God because what He did to me. He put me in a learning disability class. He allowed me to stand in the hallway of a school where middle school children made fun of me. After all, I was only a third grader. I was only 8 years old. That was unfair. It wasn't right. And God did it to me. No, He didn't. You know what I found out later when I got saved? When I took the anger in my heart away from God and I put it in the Word of God and I put it on God, you know what I found out? Praise God, God did it for me. It wasn't at me. It wasn't against me. It was for me because God knew what I was going to need in my life. God knew that He wanted to do something wonderful in my life, and He allowed some things in my life that would make me better, would make me a better servant, would make me a better person. But you know what? There were some years that I got angry with God because God did it to me. No, He didn't. God will never do anything to you, but He'll do a lot of things for you. You know, we can say in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for you. And there's some things that He allowed in your life. Now, it wasn't His desire, but He allowed some things in your life. Because He knew later on down the road what He was going to use you for and what you were going to surrender to, and it would make you a better servant for Him. It would enable you to reach people that you could never reach any other way.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to stop being mad at God. And we've got to just accept His will for our life. And when we do, guess what? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And you know, if you're harboring bitterness in your heart, I don't care what it's about. I don't care what happened. I don't care who it's against. I don't care about anything. And it doesn't matter if you're harboring bitterness in your heart, whether it's directed at God or another person, it's going to lead you to destruction. And it's the very thing that's keeping you from having that peaceful, wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that even in the midst of anything that the devil throws at you, you'll have peace and joy and contentment in your heart, knowing that God is going to turn it around, knowing that God is going to make it okay, and knowing that one day, praise God, we're going to be in heaven with Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know about you, but this home, this earth is not my home.
Amen.
I'm just passing through. The Bible says life is but a vapor which appeareth for a moment and then pass away. Let's not get wrapped up on what's going on down here. Let's get wrapped up on what God wants going on up there. Bitterness. As we go about here, bitterness is wicked. And the Bible says here, it told us in Hebrews that when it springs up, and it will, I promise you, it will, things happen. You know, first of all, let's jump down to verse number 30 of Isaiah, or of Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting. Look at that verse real close. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know something strange about that? Look at that. God showed me this morning. You know, it's amazing. The word holy is not capitalized. So that's not talking about his name. That's talking about his attribute. It says, grieve not the holy, righteous, pure Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, the day that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within us. You couldn't give him back if you wanted. You can't get rid of him. And I don't care where you go or what you do, he's right there with you. When you're participating in sin and when you're participating in the sin of bitterness, he's there. And the Bible says, grieve not the Holy, speaking of his attributes. I'll put it another way. Don't make the Holy Spirit of God dirty.
Amen.
Don't make him dirty by your bitterness. Don't make him dirty by the things that you're harboring in your heart. Because it's going to grieve him. It's going to make him sad because you're sealed into the day of redemption. He can't go to where you're going and say, hey, I'm not going there. No. He's in you, and when you go there, he goes there. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Then it goes on to tell us in verse number 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know what bitterness does? It starts out by wrath. Wrath is that thing that boils within you. You know, we don't see it out here right now. See, wrath is that inward thing. That you're sitting there stewing. You're sitting there thinking, preacher, he don't have any right to say that. He just doesn't understand my circumstance, doesn't understand my situation, and he has no right to do that. You know what that is? That's wrath. And that's building up inside. Well, you know what comes along after wrath? The Bible says wrath and anger. That's the outward. That's when inside that wrath is bubbled up so hard and so hot that it comes out. Well, then it goes on and it says, and clamor. You know what clamor is? Clamor is speaking. You see, the wrath is inside. It bubbles up and gets real hot. Comes out in the form of anger, and what happens is you start opening up your mouth. And when you start opening up your mouth, you know what happens next? Evil speaking. When you start opening up your mouth because of that bitterness you're harboring in your heart, you're not going to say anything good. You're not going to say anything that's going to fix the problem. You're not going to say anything that's going to bring you and that other person together. All it's going to do is destroy. All it's going to do is tear apart. All it's going to do is keep you from the things of God. The devil promises peace and joy, but all he gives is destruction. And bitterness will tear us apart.
Bitterness will cause us to say things we shouldn't say. Bitterness will cause us to do things we shouldn't do. Bitterness will tear us apart. Bitterness will shut this church down. And bitterness is what will keep this church from growing. For the love of God, church, deal with the bitterness that's in your heart. Allow God to do what He wants to do with Faith Independent Baptist Church. Bitterness. It goes to evil speaking. And the Word of God says here, that put away from all, from you with all malice. Malice is the desire to hurt. It's the desire of the hurt of someone or to hurt someone. You know what happens when you get bitter? And you get all the way down to the boiling point and you boil over and you get angry and you start opening up your mouth and you start evil speaking. You know what you covet in your heart? You know what you want with every being of your fiber? You want to hurt the person you're angry at. You want to do evil to them. You'll think evil in your head. You'll say evil out of your mouth. And you may even act on the evil. Because all you can think about is hurting them because you're hurting yourself inside. And you can hurt them. You can strike out against them. You can fulfill the things that the devil is saying in your heart. But it won't satisfy your heart. It won't give you peace in your heart. It won't give you joy in your heart. It's just going to give you more destruction. It's just going to give you more sadness. It's just going to drive you down lower than what you already are. Bitterness has to be dealt with. It's not an easy thing to deal with. I've dealt with it for years. And I'll be honest with you, there are times when bitterness gets the victory over me. But what I got to do is I got to back up and I got to go to the grace of God. And I've got to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got to say, God, help me with this. I don't want to carry this in my heart. I don't want this to define me. I don't want this to be who I am. I want to live for You. I want to have joy. I want to have peace. I want to see work done for You in a mighty and great way. Many years ago, a young man starting out in the ministry, I had a fellow missionary get angry with me. You know what he was angry with me about? We disagreed on the method of winning people to the Lord. I believe that we ought to have taken the time and dealt with people individually. He felt group prayers were okay. Now, in certain circumstances, I guess maybe a group prayer, if you can't keep from doing anything else, all right, go ahead. But you know what I found out most group prayers? Most of the people praying don't understand what they're saying, and they're not any more saved than the devil is. And that missionary got mad at me. He got some bitterness in his heart. We had some words. And I'll be honest with you folks, I didn't handle it all like I should have handled it. Because I got angry too. I got hurt. And the assault that that missionary launched on me went over 7 years. And it bugged me. And I'll be honest with you, I read Hebrews chapter 12 over and over and over and over and over again and begged God. You know what I finally did one day? I thought, I've had enough of this. It's tearing me apart. It's hindering me from doing what God wants me to do. It's hindering me from hearing from the Holy Spirit. It's hindering me from having joy in my life. And I went to that missionary. and I apologized. I tried to make it right with him. And what I was hoping and expecting is for him to reciprocate. But no. You know what he said to me? Well, brother, it's about time you get your heart right with God. You know what I had to do? Oh, hold on there, bitterness. Hold on there. I don't want it. It was hurtful. It was mean. But you know how I got over it? I said, well, I'm sorry, brother, you feel that way. But I love you anyway. Amen. I love you anyway. And I prayed for him. And I still pray for him. Amen. I pray for the welfare of his family. I pray that God would bless him. And I kept going before the Lord to him on his behalf and praying for his family and praying for the situations in their family. But you know what that did for me, folks? That relieved me of the hurt. That took it out of me. And left it on him. You know, you can forgive even if the person you're forgiven done you wrong. Or you may have done that person wrong. And maybe they say, hey, no, no. You're not forgiven. Well, that doesn't mean that you can't be forgiven. Because God takes care of it. When we do right, God honors right. How do you get a how do we get rid of it? Verse number 32, it says, and be ye kind. you want to get rid of bitterness? Be ye kind one to another. It doesn't stop there. Tender hearted. Forgiving one another. Guess what? It doesn't stop there. Even as the example of what he's talking about here, being kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, the example, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The same mercy, the same grace that God gave you on Christ's behalf is what God expects you to do with the bitterness that you're harboring in your heart. You say, well, brother, I can't do that. I'm not capable of that. I don't have that. But you do. You are the one that determines what bitterness will do in your life. You can either let it drive you to the grave and drive you insane, or you can lay it at the foot of the cross, be forgiving, loving, and tenderhearted as God, for Christ's sake, did for you. You do the same thing for them, for Christ's sake. Because you know what? Even though as bad as you hate that person, God still loves them. Even as bad as you despise that person, God wants to see them in heaven. The rapist, pervert, child molesting guy on death row that's a murderer, God still loves him. And if he would confess his sin, God would forgive him. For Christ's sake. Because that man's sin, even as bad as that sounds, was put on Jesus Christ the day he died on the cross. Remember? The thief on the cross on the left, the one on the right, he died for both of them. He paid for both of their sins. He loved both of them the same. The only difference is one said, I'll take it. The other one says, I'll keep it. How did we get rid of bitterness? We get rid of bitterness by letting God reveal it. Will you spend this week saying, God,
Where is the bitterness in my life? Are you mad at God? Are you mad at God for something that He did in your life? Or you think He did? He did it for you, not to you. Is there somebody that in your heart you're harboring bitterness because of something they said to you or something that they offended you? Or you may not be able to go to them. You may not be able to fix the problem with them. But you know who you can fix it with? You can fix it with God. Let God reveal the bitterness in your heart. Then when God reveals the bitterness in your heart, let the mercy of God remove it. Exercise the mercy of God. Don't give that guy or that gal or that person what you think they deserve. Give them better. Wish them farewell. Pray for their needs. Pray for their family. Love them. You say, well, they won't love me back. Who cares? Amen. It doesn't matter. Love them. Let God's mercy do it. And let God's goodness replace it. You know when you'll do that? When you'll follow God's plan, the Bible's an amazing book. The Bible, when we follow God's plan, you know what God does? He replaces with goodness in our heart. He gives us that peace and that joy that we're longing for. He gives us those things that we need. He gives us those things that we desire. Only when we do it how He says to do it. And this recipe, folks, will fix any marriage. It'll fix any relationship. It'll fix any problem between brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, well, now wait a minute. What if they don't want to make it right? They may not want to. And they may not. But the only way that the root of bitterness will stay in your heart is if you put it there and leave it there and harbor it and hold on to it and protect it. You got to let it go. Ephesians, verse number 4, and our chapter number 4 and verse number 32, it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how can we look at someone else and say, I won't forgive you? When God in His mercy, you deserving to spend eternity in hell and burn forever. I don't care who you are. And God said, no, I don't want that for him. I don't want that for her. What I want for him and what I want for her is to spend eternity with me in heaven and have joy and peace and contentment on earth. I'm not going to give them what they deserve. I'm going to show mercy. You want to get bitterness out of your heart, out of your life? You want to solve that problem that you've been dragging around and it's been towing you down and bugging you for many years? Apply mercy, God's mercy to it. And I promise you, you'll be a happier person. I promise you, there'll be some joy. I'm not promising you a worry-free life. I'm not promising you that there's never going to be another person come along and offend you. Because there will be. You hang around me long enough, I'll say something or I'll do something and it'll make you mad. I will offend you. I have offended you. And if you hang around and look long enough and hard enough, you'll find plenty. But if you turn it over to God and just say, Jesus, God, here it is. I don't want to carry it anymore.
I don't want it in my life anymore. Here it is. You take it. It's yours. It'll put a smile on your face that the devil himself can't wipe off. Faith Independent Baptist Church, revival's coming. Are you going to allow the bitterness that you've been harboring in your heart to divide us and to keep us from having revival? Hey, that's up to you. That's between you and God. You want to see Hebron, Kentucky turned upside down and all the way around the world? Deal with the bitterness. Let's get unified. And some great things will happen. My question to you is, are we going to waste another revival service? Or this week we going to do business with God and get right down to it and love Him and forgive? Let's pray. Father in heaven, life here on earth is hard. And we face a lot of things that we don't understand and we don't like. Lord, we're in battles today. We'll be in battles tomorrow. We'll be in battles next week. And Lord, I know the devil's going to continue to work. He's going to continue to try to steal joy. He's going to continue to try to steal contentment. He's going to continue to try to steal revival from Faith Independent Baptist Church. He's going to continue to try to steal the souls of lost people and make permanent their residence in hell. But Lord, we don't have to let him. We don't have to be party to it. And Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts. Work in our lives. Lord, you know the circumstances that we face as a church. I pray that you'd give us the victory over it and through it. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with Brother Jones and Brother Dale as they come and preach to us next week. Lord, I pray that revival would fall from heaven and pour out over the world. And Lord, have your will and your way in our invitation this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.